of weeks ago, I was in my car driving, and I was listening to the radio. And do you know who Melinda Lee is? She does food news. So she does this food show that's kind of about solving problems in the kitchen and that kind of stuff, how to do different things. And she was doing this story that was trivia about grocery stores and shopping. And she said a bunch of different things, and I was going to share a couple of them with you. One that was kind of interesting that she said that when you're in a grocery store and if the floor is rough or bumpy, that it causes you to slow your cart down, and studies show that you're more likely to spend 20% more in that aisle than if the floor wasn't rough. She said that they never put dollar signs in front of prices in the grocery store because if there's a dollar sign there, you're less likely to buy that product than if there's no dollar sign. But the one that really grabbed me was that studies show that if you are greeted upon coming into a store as a shopper, you are 70% less likely to shoplift. Is that incredible? If you are greeted when you come into the store, what that says to me is when you are greeted and that person sees you and acknowledges you, all of a sudden you have a connection with that person. All of a sudden you are on the same team, you're on the same side. All of a sudden you have an affinity with that person, a connection with that person, a relationship with that person. You are comrades or friends, or at least in this together. And why in the world would you steal from someone who is your friend, with whom you are connected, someone whose side you are on when you're on the same team? So being greeted by that person makes us feel like we belong. It makes us feel like we are a part of that which is bigger. That is one of the most basic human needs that we have as human beings, is to belong and to be part of. In fact, during ancient times, one of the greatest punishments that they would give somebody was to ostracize them from their society, to kick them out of their community, to be banned from the society in which they belong to be excluded from that group that you are a part of, to no longer be part of, no longer accepted, no longer embraced, no longer included. Can you imagine how painful that would be to have to go it on your own and to be on the outside and not to have that support system or the people that you feel connected to and the people that you belong with? Painful. So we have this deep need to belong. We've always had it. It's part of our makeup. And in my reading this week, there's a quote from Brené Brown, who is a scholar, author, a public speaker, and my prayer partner Christy's favorite author. She says, "A deep sense of love and belonging is an irreducible need of all people. We are biologically, cognitively, physically, and spiritually wired to love, to be loved, and to belong. When those needs are not met, we do not function as we are meant to. We break, we fall apart, we numb, we ache, we hurt others, we get sick." I think that that not belonging is one of the biggest causes of so many of the problems that we have in our country, in this society today. I think it is the base of problems in race relationships. I think it is the problem in corporate America. I think it is a cause of the problem of crime and depression and addiction and substance abuse. We don't have this sense of belonging. So many of us don't have that. We are isolated from each other. We're isolated in our neighborhoods. I don't know about you, but in my neighborhood, I don't know my neighbors. There's not a sense of belonging and community where we're connected with each other. We are isolated behind our electronic devices, our iPads and our iPhones and our computers and all that stuff. People aren't connected. In fact, Lark, who is a college professor, tells me that one of the most common experiences today for college students is that they are lonely. It's a lonely experience going to college. That's because they are disconnected, because they're behind those electronic devices, so they don't have that sense of belonging with each other. So we are isolated in our cars, and we are isolated behind our walls of our homes. We are isolated in the made-up ideas that we have in our minds of race and of political party and of socioeconomic status. And not just that, but we're disconnected from ourselves because we are so darn busy all the time and rushing around and doing that we don't take time to stop and just be with ourselves. And yes, absolutely, we have that sense of belonging here. That's one of the reasons that it feels so good, one of the reasons, and why we like to come here. We belong here with each other. We belong with our friends. We belong in our family. And if it's not a family of birth, it's the family that we've chosen, family of choice. We belong in the social organizations that we are in our book club or in the gardening club or in your 12-step group or whatever social kind of organization. You have a sense of belonging in that group. But I want to know, do you have a sense of belonging to life? Do you have a sense of belonging in the universe? Do you have a sense of belonging in the divine and to the divine? Do you have a sense of belonging to yourself? And do you have a sense that we each belong to each other? The title of my talk today is We Are Family, and I'm talking about that. I'm talking about belonging and how every single one of us in this human family are all connected, that we are all connected and part of that one family, that we are connected to each other, all of us, and that we all belong to life, that we all belong to this universe in which we live, one with each other and one with the whole. I read a story this week that is about a man named Bob Chapman who runs a large manufacturing company in the Midwest. The company's name is Barry Weimiller. In 2008, the company was hit very hard by the recession, and they lost 30% of their business overnight. In a large manufacturing company, that is a really big deal. They could no longer afford the labor pool that they had. They needed to save $10 million, so like so many companies, the board got together and they discussed doing layoffs. Well, Bob, the manager, refused to do that. He doesn't believe in head counts. Bob believes in heart counts. And it's much more difficult to lay off when you're looking at heart counts instead of head counts. So what they decided was to do a furlough program. Every employee from the secretary to the CEO of the company was required to take 4 weeks off without pay, to take a four-week vacation. They could take the time anytime they wanted, and it didn't have to be consecutive. So the big thing was, though, really was about how Bob announced the program that mattered so much. He decided and told them, it is better that we all should suffer a little than anybody should have to suffer a lot. And what happened is the company saved $20 million. And most importantly, and what was not expected at all, was that when people feel safe and when they feel protected by their leadership in an organization, the natural reaction is to trust and to cooperate. And what happened is, quite spontaneously, without expecting it, people started trading those vacations with each other. And the people that could not afford it ended up taking less vacation, and the people could afford to take the time off traded with them, and so some people took 3 weeks and some people took 5 weeks. That's a sense of belonging to each other, a sense of belonging because the leadership says, you belong and we're family. And the people at work said, you belong to each of us as family, and that's what that's born out of. They belong to each other. And so as part of this organization of Centers for Spiritual Living, you all know that we stand on this vision called the Global Heart Vision. That is something that we stand for and strive for, and is our vision of where we are headed. And one of the pieces of the Global Heart Vision says, we envision a world where each and every person has enough food, a home, a sense of belonging, a world of peace and harmony and enfranchisement and justice. Because when we belong to each other, those other things are the natural byproduct. People having enough food and having a home and having peace and harmony and enfranchisement and justice is what happens when we belong to each other. When we think and act from that consciousness of belonging to each other, that's how we automatically treat people. So where and how do we begin to cultivate that deep consciousness and feeling of belonging? I think that we begin right here inside of us. I think that we begin by recognizing and remembering that we belong in the divine, that we belong in God, that we are spirit's expression of itself. Therefore, we are held in that loving space, that heart of God, that mind of God, that consciousness of God all the time, that we can't be separate from it, therefore we belong in it. And if spirit is omnipresent, everywhere present, that means no matter where we go, no matter what we are doing, no matter who we are with, we already belong because we belong in the divine. We remind ourselves and grow the awareness of that so that that is the consciousness that we walk in, already belonging. We remember that we are cherished, that we are valued, that we are important in the divine, and that's where we belong. We are always at home, home in God. And then the second thing that we do is we remember that every single person, each and every one of us, that we are emanations, individuations of spirit. Individuations mean still one at the source, but individualized outside of that source. That we are each connected, even though we see these seeming differences and this seeming separateness, that we are still one in God, that we are still one in this energy and one with each other. It is like that largest living organism in the world. I don't know if you've heard about this. It's a tree that grows in Colorado. It is the single largest living organism on the earth, and it's a shaking aspen. That one tree covers 106 acres. So it has one root system that has shot up trees out of that one root system, the exact same DNA, the exact same tree, 106 acres, one root system, 47,000 trunks of the tree. That is how we are, rooted one in God, one in energy, one in heart, one in love, individuations of the presence of the divine. We remember that we are like that tree. Therefore, we are already connected and part of, and we belong to each other. Mother Teresa says, if we have no peace, it is because we have forgotten that we belong to each other. It's because we have forgotten that we belong to each other. So our call is to remember that we belong to each other, and then to act from that mindset, to act from that heart set. And you know how you get there? Through spiritual practice, especially through meditation. It is through that practice of meditation that you realize that you are more than this individual body, and you have a sense of that connection, that truth of oneness. That is the call of our soul. That is the call of our heart, and that is the call of the world right now, is to remember that we are one with each other and that we belong to each other. Because your mind forgets, but your soul never forgets that. So it's about reconnecting with your soul, like Ray said, this spiritual practice every single morning. Like the song that Denise sang, it was all about belonging to each other. So you get out of your head in meditation so that you can remember. because it's when we step out of fear and scarcity, when we know that we are safe and we know that we are enough and that there is enough, when we remember that we live our lives in that care and keeping of the divine, that all that the divine has is already yours, then we come from that consciousness of belonging to God and belonging to each other. Then we automatically come from love and care and oneness and inclusion and equality. And when you do that spiritual practice and you have that realization inside of you, then you don't need dogma and rules that tell you what is appropriate behavior and how to treat other people and what to do. I know this sounds kind of gossipy, but my mom says to me sometimes, I know I should be nicer. It's the Christian thing to do. I should treat this person that way because it's the Christian-like thing. When you do that deep spiritual practice, you don't need a rule or anyone out there telling you what you should do. It's your automatic motivation. And if you have that realization that we belong to each other, no one needs to tell you how to treat other people. And then the very last thing, the third thing that you do, is you cultivate a sense of belonging to yourself, that you belong to yourself. One of the ways that you cultivate that is by being in the silence. That is one of the practices that we do in our classes and the one that almost everybody says they love the most. It's not hard of sitting down and getting your mind to quit thinking and being in meditation. It's simply just being in the quiet. Sitting in your den, sitting on your couch, sitting in your backyard with no distractions, with nothing to do, just being. And it allows us to reconnect with ourselves, to experience being at home in ourselves, to know that we belong to ourselves. It's kind and gentle and soft and so fulfilling. So we remember that we belong to ourselves. I had a kind of cranky week this week, and Colleen was cranky kind of at different times, but during this week also. And then I talked to my prayer partner, Christy, on the phone on Friday, and one of the first things we always do is say, so what's your prayer request? And she says to me, I know this sounds like a really beginning science of mine, but my prayer request is really to love myself. And when she said that, it was like, duh. I probably did. Duh. When I love myself, it doesn't matter what someone out there is doing. Because when Colleen was cranky, what happens inside of me is I go, oh my gosh, did I do something wrong? I must have done something wrong. And then I get worried and I get weird. You know what? When I love myself, it doesn't matter if someone out there is cranky. It doesn't matter if someone out there on the road is rude. It doesn't matter what's going on out there. When I'm loving myself, I'm already home in myself. When I'm loving myself, I'm already at peace in myself, at ease in myself, at home in myself. When I am grounded and connected with myself, I don't take the stuff that's going on out there personally because it's not about me, because then I know who I am. So when I am connected to myself and know that I belong to myself, I am automatically already at peace. I am already feeling safe. I am already at home. Do you know that that is one of the key components and the healing thing that happens in therapy? You go to see a therapist and you talk about all the dirt in your life, the stuff that's happened to you that's so horrible, or the things that you did that were so rotten, or the things that you think about that you think aren't okay to be thinking about. And the whole time, the therapist sits there and holds you in unconditional acceptance. They don't judge you. They don't make you wrong. They hold you in acceptance. And out of being held by another person in that unconditional acceptance, we learn to accept ourselves. And out of being held by someone else in unconditional acceptance, we find home in ourselves. It's about coming home to yourself, belonging to yourself. Then you are your own safe harbor. And from that place of being a safe harbor, then, like Brené Brown talked about, we function fully. Then you function how you're supposed to function. You come from a place of power and a place of strength and a place of tenderness and a place of care and a place of flexibility. Things don't have to be a certain way on the outside. There, from there, we are effective. All because you are at home in yourself. So in order to bring our best forward, in order to bring our very best to life, and in order to invite that forward in other people so that they bring their very best to life, it's that threefold call. One, to remember that you belong to life, that you belong in God, that you belong in spirit all of the time, in everything that you do, everywhere you go, because spirit is omnipresence and you belong there. To develop that deep sense of belonging. And secondly, to remember that we each and every one of us belong to each other. To look at life through that lens, and when you're out doing your Christmas shopping, and when you're out in the world and you're at the grocery store and all the things that you do, to look through that lens that we belong to each other, that we are each part of this human family, sisters and brothers, the many trees with the one root system, the root of spirit. We are called to think and act from that place, connected. And then the last one is to remember and to cultivate that sense that you belong to yourself. Here in your heart, here in your beingness, in your spirit, you are home. And so blessings to each one of you in this season of belonging, belonging to life and belonging to each other and belonging to yourself. For there and from there, we create this world that works for everyone. So blessings to each one of you. And I'm now going to invite Christy up, and she's going to do our treatment today.
So we just take this moment. Our eyes are open. And first we just pause in gratitude for the recognition of Reverend Jennifer. Of how she truly does open her heart to the divine and allows herself to be that instrument to share that wisdom.
And so we continue to lean into that truth today, recognizing that in the open-heartedness that we brought forth this morning, that the seeds have indeed been planted for us to remember the very truth of who we are, that we do indeed belong to that highest source of all, God. And so when we forget, and we will, it's not that we've missed the mark. It's just that we put a different meaning on that longing in our hearts. So let us remember this morning that when we feel that longing, it's simply God calling us back to itself, saying, yes, you are loved. You are here with me in my heart. You are mine always and in all ways. And that we accept that invitation for ourselves. And then when we step out into the world and we see someone else in that very same heartache, rather than meeting them with judgment or crankiness or poopiness or anything other than that, we remember again, it's that very same longing of, oh my gosh, I forgot. I forgot that I belong to God. I forgot that I belong to this human life. And we extend a hand, a blessing, a smile, a hug, a touch, knowing that it is indeed our call to give of ourselves. That's what we've been taught this morning. That's what we already know. So yes, as we move forward into this season of light and giving and love and belonging, let us make that covenant with each other and with our source to remember that truth, to tread lightly when we forget, and to hold each other and ourselves up to be the blessing that we are. Thank you, God, for the gift of this moment and this morning and this wisdom and this community. Thank you, God, for each other and for us. And with that, I simply say, and so it is. Amen.
Thank you.